couple of minutes past 5 o'clock here on The Fan. You know what time that means.
Cinco de Tommy.
With Evan and Tiki on The Fan.
All right, guys. Cinco de 5-0 is brought to you by Helix Wireless, connecting everything, everywhere, and by Wendy's. Try the new Pretzel Baconator today. All right, we touched on it throughout the show. You can go back on the Odyssey Rewind app if you want to listen to it. But last night was episode 2 of Hard Knocks. So I'm going to give you the top 5 things I've learned from episode 2 of Hard Knocks. All right, here we go.
Here we go!
Number 5.
Believe it or not, there is an Evan Roberts in every single friend group. Now, at the latter part of the episode, if you missed it, some of the scouts went to St. Elmo's. It's a steakhouse.
I've been there. Been to St. Elmo's twice.
In Indy.
In Indianapolis. Legendary place. I'll tell you a quick story after you're done.
And I forget the fella's name, but he was the only one at the table. Now, if he has an allergy, I apologize to shellfish, but he didn't say that. He didn't order shrimp cocktail. He was the only person at the table to not order shrimp cocktail.
How is that like me? I love shrimp. I went after Loogie on Twitter about this, and I'm very disappointed. Loogie, for somebody who I've worked with for a considerable amount of time, even before the show with Craig, he was a Saturday producer, thinks he knows me so well and then says stuff that's so the opposite of me. Shrimp is one of my favorites. Huh. It's on the Cinco de Evo of food items. And for you to say that that guy who said no to shrimp cocktail is like me, that's like the opposite of me.
Hmm. All right, Ansem, I'll follow up with this. When you eat your shrimp, what do you dip it in?
What do I dip it in?
Not a hard question. What do you dip it in?
So nowadays, I put it in that stupid sauce. I used to hate it. Now I love it.
So back in the day, just to be clear.
I went playing
well,
with the shrimp.
See, that's the problem.
But it was a long time ago.
Why is that bad?
You don't have plain shrimp. You got the horseradish, the cocktail sauce. You can't just be eating it plain.
I have become a big cocktail sauce kind of guy, but there was a time, so I'm always honest, where I was not like that. But I'm going to give you an example. Coming up this weekend, my father-in-law says to me, Evan, I'm going to make you any meal you want. And I said, okay. And I'm debating between two things. Chorizo quesadillas and shrimp quesadillas. So I am a shrimp guy. I'm a big shrimp guy.
You got to go pork.
What?
Go the pork.
Oh, you want to go chorizo?
Yes.
Okay, fine. That's fine. Yeah. You can win either way. But to accuse me of not liking shrimp is very... I'm deeply offended by it.
More flavor.
No, but you always got to go cocktail sauce. I want my eyes to be tearing with the horseradish.
That's fine. You apologize to me for suggesting on the radio and Twitter that I'm the guy who says no to shrimp cocktail at St. Elmo's?
Loogie!
BS!
You will hear no
such... Tiki! He owes me an apology.
He does. Or he owes you a dinner at St. Elmo's.
Oh, one other thing about St. Elmo's. Quick story, and you'll continue your Cinco, I promise. First time I was ever at St. Elmo's. Young guy. Mm-hmm. Young guy. I don't know what's going on. Mike Francesa takes us out to dinner.
Oh, here we go.
So I do not know what to order. And everything Loogie just joked about, spot on. I am clueless. I don't know what to do.
You don't know what to order at a steakhouse.
Utter nonsense.
I'm intimidated by my presence. I'm intimidated by Mike. Yes. I'm intimidated by St. Elmo's. And
there's a lot of steaks to order from, too.
Exactly.
And so if you don't know exactly what you want, it's like, dude, I want the ribeye, I don't want the filet.
Didn't know what to do.
Porterhouse.
Shame on all of you.
Getting this thing rare.
Now, luckily, you know what Mike did?
What did he do?
He wouldn't let us order.
Oh.
He said, here's what we're going to do. He ordered everything on the menu, put it in the middle, and let us eat.
Right.
But with me, because I'm a weird kid, I'm not kidding. This is one of the greatest moments of my life. Mike would take the food off the plate and put it on my plate and say, I now have this. Okay, what do you think? You like that? Okay.
Incredibly creamy.
I'm gonna give you this. And he kept putting food on my plate like he was mommy.
Nice.
The only thing he didn't do was cut it up, right, which I would have appreciated.
I'm assuming he picked up the check, too.
Oh, did he ever. So St. Elmo's was amazing. The next time I went a second time with just Beningo and I. We owned the place. We knew what we were doing. But that first time, Daddy Mike took care of us.
Sorry, I'm distracted. I'm envisioning Mike, you know, stuffing heavy, thick-cut bacon into Evan's mouth. All right,
number four.
Number four. The Bills are idiots. All right, so this is not necessarily Giant-related, but part of the episode last night, we got to see the Combine, and we got to see Xavier Worthy, who's a burner. I mean, he was great at Texas. I mean, the guy could fly. He set the record in the 40. I think it was a 4.22 or whatever it was. In case you forgot, the Bills, who cannot beat the Chiefs, traded out of their draft pick, gave it to the Chiefs for the Chiefs to take Xavier Worthy. That's smart. The team you can't beat, let's hand them a guy in Patrick Mahomes, a guy that could absolutely fly down the hill, down the field. They don't have Hill anymore, and now they have this guy Worthy who will probably torch the Jets, torch the Bills for years to come.
Well, he won't torch the Jets because Sauce Gardner exists. And second of all...
is that a challenge?
Who did the Bills get in their trade down? I'm forgetting now.
I actually don't remember. I just remember the Worthy part of it because I remember screaming like, dude, you're going to get
Xavier Leggett?
Perhaps.
Oh, yes.
And think about it. The Bills are the same franchise that gave the Chiefs Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Well, technically.
That
because
pick?
Of the trade.
Yeah,
the pick.
Yeah.
And the Bills don't have any wide receivers. Here we go.
Number three.
All right, I'm going to step a little away from Tiki when I say this one. My confidence in Brian Daboll has been restored.
Oh, good.
Because when he had those quarterbacks in that room doing the Y2 banana or whatever the hell he was doing and basically grilling them, I was like, this guy is a freaking badass. The people's champ is back. That was awesome.
Hey, well, you should move closer to me for that.
Well, but I think you were going to say, why was your confidence ever not there with him?
Well, that's just because you're uninformed. It's all good.
Evan called me an idiot. Well, am I a net negative, perhaps?
Number two.
Yes. All right. So we talked about this a little bit earlier. Joe Shane talking to Saquon was like watching a bad breakup. This is not some girl you're dating on Hinge. I mean, so what did you do over the weekend? Do you pinky swear to circle back? I mean, what are we doing? I mean, that was uncomfortable.
It was kind of uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You said something earlier in the show, and you could rewind to about 3 o'clock when we talked about this on the Odyssey app. You said you had one negotiation with the Giants, and you never talked to Ernie Accorsi.
Mm-hmm.
And you even wondered aloud, I wonder how normal it is for players to talk to the general manager. A part of me is now thinking, this is a show. They know what's going to go on TV. Mm-hmm. And Joe Shane knew at that point, hey, we're going to be doing this. Maybe I need to make the phone call for the perception.
Maybe.
And that he wouldn't have made that phone call if it wasn't going to be on television.
Yeah, because he basically said the same thing with less, I don't know, like lovingness to his agent.
Right.
He said the same thing.
We don't want to insult you. We love you. Blah, blah, blah. Go test the market. And then do you give me your word you'll come back and at least give me a chance to match?
In some ways, though, he did give Saquon the courtesy of calling him.
I agree.
Which is nice.
But Lukey's
right. Also gave him a chance to say how much he appreciated Saquon.
Yeah.
Like, personally. So you hear it from me. Now, maybe that pissed Saquon off, but whatever.
Lukey's right, though. It was awkward. It was one of those awkward conversations.
How's the offseason been? You doing anything?
I mean, come on. That was so weird.
Listen to that clip one more time, because you may not have heard it. That's Joe Shane saying to Saquon Barkley, hey, what'd you do this offseason?
How's the offseason been? You doing anything?
That last part, you do anything?
You doing anything?
Like, that is such an awkward, like, dating line.
Well, it's not like they're buddies, and they hang out and go to dinners.
No,
and
I know.
You know what I mean? It's not like he's the coach. It's not like he's Dave.
I get you.
He doesn't know him intimately.
All right, let's say you're number one.
You doing anything?
Number one.
All right, as a Giant fan here watching Hard Knocks, I am thoroughly confused because in episode one, the Giants were propping up Daniel Jones. And then in this episode, I got to the conclusion that they don't believe in this guy. They literally showed Shane talking to the GM of the Pats about trading to get to three. What was his name? Brandon Brown, the assistant GM, was basically saying, whoever the number one quarterback is, I'm sitting there going, all right, is Daniel Jones the guy here? Do they really believe in him? And the conclusion I got from episode two is they don't believe in this guy.
I think it's less that. I think it's more they got to trust that he's going to, one, be healthy, and two, that he can stay healthy. Because if he starts the season and he's not ready, we have no indication that he's not going to be ready. But let's just say, for whatever reason, training camp comes around, which is 2 weeks from now, and he's not cleared to practice. Like how are we going to feel then? Then it gets a little bit dicey.
I think that the Giants are in this weird spot with Daniel Jones, and it's tough to admit this on camera. And look, one thing we learned, if you saw this episode, I'll describe it if you didn't, is that Joe Shane had a meeting with the PR guy to go over how
Dion.
He's going to answer.
Dion, which is great, by the way.
I'm not
it's
ripping.
One of, it's one of the best parts of last night's show.
I thought that was fascinating. Like, because Joe Shane is discussing with, what's his name?
Dion.
Right. How he's going to answer every question that the national media asks him. And he crafted it and basically admitted, look, we're not franchising Saquon, but I don't want to say that publicly.
Right.
Meanwhile, we're sitting here that day analyzing, oh, they could franchise Saquon. We didn't realize the background, which is Joe Shane was just crafting how he wanted to say things.
Can I hold a time out for a second?
Yes.
How many times did I tell you that? A million.
That they won't franchise him?
They are not franchising him.
Yes, you were correct.
Absolutely
correct. You know why you were right?
Why?
because I am so naive that I believe Joe Shane. I believe Joe. Joe said something, and I tried. Joe has got a very trusting look to him.
He does.
A very trusting energy to
him. Joe is great.
But now I realize he's a liar. And
sometimes you got to lie.
When we interview
That's
Joe.
That's the job, by the way.
No, I get you. When we talk to Joe at Giant Training Camp, and I'm sure we will. Mm-hmm. We've talked to him every year. I have, you have. I'm going to ask him nicely. I'm going to say, Joe, what kind of process did you have before this interview? Did you go over what the dopey redhead may ask, what the legendary giant running back may ask? Are you going to craft answers that may not even be true just to please people?
Would you like me to send questions to Dion so that you can go over them?
No, we're not the president of the United States. You set me up for that one. He's not the president, damn it. It doesn't work that way. Anyhow, great job. There's your Cinco.
Generational talent.
Cinco de Tommy.
Lugie is the future of the station.
Who's saying that part? Was that me? Sounds like me a little.
That is Salicata.
Oh, that's Salicata?
Is that AI?
No, that is the actual Salicata.
Yeah,
saying what we are all thinking.
I think he was saying it in a very sarcastic way.
Lugie is the future of the station.
Yeah, you can hear the way that's
Sal
saying.
Yeah, with the pitch going up at the end, future of the station.
That is
generational talent.
That is Sal and BT, because that's BT, disgusted by your comment. Like, you could just tell, like, what generation.
No, I think they're agreeing with me. That's how I
do it. I don't think they were. That's just me. Anyhow, would you like to hear from somebody that sat next to me at the Met game last night?
Yes.
I'm afraid to take this call. Like, I'm afraid. Like, what is this person going to say?
Because you didn't meet him.
Well, I met a lot of people last night. It's possible I met him last night.
I mean, maybe you did, but you don't know what he's going to say about you.
I wonder if he's going to comment on the mustard that was on my shorts. Or the way I tried to awkwardly eat a sandwich while scoring a game. Joel in Massapequa, how was your night last night, Joel?
It was really good, except for watching that bullpen.
Yeah, wow. Amen on that.
So, I was the guy who yelled to you, like, what are we doing in the bullpen? So, you were sitting next to that, like, there was a couple next to you. One of them was wearing one of these soccer jerseys.
Yes.
But what I really wanted to comment on is the Mets are dropping the ball. We're season ticket holders, and the concessions, they're closed.
So you went, Joel, they were closed.
Yep. We go every game. And there's a lot of them closed. The lines were insane.
All right. I'm going to believe you, Joel, because I tried to give the Mets, and good meeting you last night, I tried to give the Mets the benefit of the doubt. Because I do know earlier this season, specifically the game that turned their season around, that Thursday night against the Diamondbacks, the game where Mrs. Lou Gower was at.
Yep.
The game I took my wife to, where I saw firsthand.
Birthday party.
Went to a birthday party. Tons of concessions were closed. And we railed against it, saying, look.
Yeah, but then at that time, there were 15, 20,000 people.
You're right. My issue with it wasn't that you were causing lines. It was that, hey, there are certain concessions people want. They go to a baseball game. They go to Citi Field. You can't close them. Now we have a completely different issue. Last night, they had a great crowd. Mm-hmm. They had 31,000 people there.
And they have been this way ever since summer kicked in.
You cannot have concessions closed. That is a failure by the New York Mets. You need to make sure, and I'm sorry, I know you got to hire more people. Oh, wow, we have to create more jobs. Nothing wrong with that. Like, you got to make sure that you have enough people working there, because that's not fair to your customer. It's not fair to the customer who wants a certain food item that's not available. Mm-hmm. But more importantly now, it's not fair to these lines that you're creating.
Right.
So I try to not make assumptions, but that guy who I did meet last night, he sat about three seats away from me. I don't think he's calling Sports Talk Radio to lie about the New York Mets and concession lines being longer because concessions are closed.
Yeah, part of it is not getting the food you want. The other part of it is because of the pitch clock, the game flies.
Well, yes, you're right. But also, you can't create more lines for people. Whether you're missing two innings because of 45 minutes or you're missing one inning because of 45 minutes, you should not be online for 45 minutes at a baseball game to get a damn hot dog. So the Mets, I'm going to say it very nicely because you know I love you. You know I'll be in the building on Friday. You know I'm a sucker for you. Fix this. That's all. Fix this. Because I've said this a few times. I'm going to say it again. And I'll continue to say it as long as people are going to call us and tell us that you are doing a disservice to the fans by keeping concessions closed, which is creating more lines. They already spent enough money to go to the game. They don't want to miss half the game to wait on a line. Fix it. Fix it now. Let this be the last time we have to waste our time talking about this. Because this is open and shut. This is easy. This shouldn't be a thing. Fix it. feel like my dad or my mom. Well, like, said. Really being, fix this, son. Well, you did not clean your room last night, sir. Fix it.
I have a feeling that you never didn't clean your room.
I always clean my room.
That's what I mean.
You do me a favor?
I was a double negative, so it didn't make sense to you. I have a feeling that you always cleaned your room.
Kept my room very tidy.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to do me a favor.
Go ahead.
Because I'm just crazy Evan. I think Tiki Barber, future Hall of Fame running back, should also look into the camera and tell the New York Mets to fix it.
Fix it, New York Mets.
One more time. I wasn't.
Fix it, New York Mets.
There you go.
I'll be in the Cadillac Club.
He's like, I don't even know what lines are. I'm just hanging out in a fancy club. All right, let's go to Richard in Manhattan. How you doing, Richard?
Hi, Evan, Tiki. You know, I could name you at least 12 running backs, giant running backs better than Saquon, Frank Gifford, Alex Webster, Kyle Rote, Joe Morris, Rodney Hampton, Ahmad Bradshaw, Rob Carpenter, Ron Johnson, O.J. Anderson, okay. Tiki, and maybe Dave Meggett, and maybe Brandon Jacobs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's
Jacobs
what I
had
even
a lot
think.
Of Jacobs had a lot
okay,
of
okay, so I don't see how he's in the top 100 when if you said 10 running backs,
yeah, he was
10
rookie
wide
of the year,
receivers,
he
10
linemen. He was rookie of the year. So, I mean, there were some good moments with Saquon.
Yeah, but I don't know. There. I don't know if he's even in the top 15 running back. And anyway, yesterday, Mendoza, is there a rule, Evan, that you got to use 5 pitches every game? Nunes came in, 8 pitches, got the 2 outs. Why not stick with Nunes to the 9th?
I'm going
to
give you an answer.
You're going to tell me you want a fresh inning for the kid.
No.
You gave him a fresh inning, and
no.
He improved it.
I'm going to give you the
so
answer.
Why take Nunes out until go batter by batter?
Hold on. I'm going to give you an answer that I think you may say, Evan, you're right, to have him available tonight.
Mm.
If Dednell Nunes, who has been great, I love the guy, comes out to close it out in the 9th inning with a 5-run lead and throws 17 pitches, which is fair, he's now thrown 25 pitches.
Right.
He's not available today. There's a really good chance that Dednell Nunes is available today.
Yeah, but you also but then Edwin Diaz probably is not pitching, but he's available anyways, so it's not in the conversation.
Right, but keep this in mind. When you go to Reed Garrett, and they could have gone to Eric Orsi, he was warming up in the bullpen. Poor kid does not have an ERA and was sent down, so I'm afraid he'll never have an ERA.
Yeah.
You have a 5-run lead. All you need is 3 outs. Your assumption is whether it's Reed Garrett or Eric Orsi, you're not going to have to use Edwin Diaz.
Yep.
As far as Mendy goes last night, he goes to Adam Ottavino. I got no issue with that. He has a big lead. Okay? Adam Ottavino struggles. He pulls him. Says, I'm not messing around. I'm going to Dednell Nunes. I got no problem with that. Dednell Nunes gets those 2 outs. He takes him out for the 9th inning. I got no problem with that. I actually didn't have Mendy problems last night. My problem was that the Met bullpen sucked. My problem is that Adam Ottavino and Reed Garrett forced this manager to have to use Edwin Diaz in a game in which he shouldn't have had to have used him.
This is one of those circumstance situations where you're blaming the player. This isn't on the manager. Because Adam Ottavino knows what his role is for this team right now.
Yeah.
And it sucks because it's probably not exciting for him, but it is his role on this team.
Well, as long as he pitches like this, that's going to be his role, or he's going to be DFA big. If Adam Ottavino starts to pitch well in these low-leverage situations, he'll get high-leverage opportunities.
Of course.
The way it works. But right now, it's a bullpen problem. And look, Phil Maton is here. He'll probably pitch tonight. I think what was so frustrating about last night's game is that they got a brilliant performance from Jose Quintana.
Mm-hmm.
He went 7 innings, and I was unsure he was going to come out for the 7th because his pitch count was already entering like about 90 or so. They got 7 innings out of their starter, and yet they still labored with a big lead to get the 6 outs. We'll see what Severino does tonight. I'm fascinated. Sevy has struggled recently. He continues to give them innings, but he's given up a lot of home runs. His ERA has ballooned up. So hopefully he can give them innings tonight. It's Severino against Patrick Corbin.
You want to close the concession thing?
Excuse me?
Let's close the concession thing. Get Jimmy.
Oh, Jimmy. Jimmy, what's going on, Jimmy? Jimmy and Wontal. What's up, Jimmy?
What's going on, guys? Hold on, I'm the speaker. How we doing, guys?
What's up?
I just wanted to put you in. I worked at Shea Stadium from 1980 to 2000. Sorry, at Stevens to Aramark.
All right.
The Mets, just to let him know.
Oh, come on. What was he going to say? We're losing him now. Start over. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Tell us, Jimmy, why was it closed last night?
I don't work there anymore, but it's not up to the Mets. It's Aramark, Harry and Stevens. They play open and employ as much as they want.
Yeah, but can't the Mets influence it?
They probably can, and there's a way to do it, but you know, it's probably in some kind of contract that they have. Hmm. But I know 20 years I managed, I ran the picnic area. The Mets never got involved, really.
Okay, here's my point. And I don't know what goes on behind the scenes in terms of who controls what. They have to get involved. Because when they charge people to come to their ballpark and enjoy the baseball experience, I think in general the Mets do a great job of the baseball experience. I think they have a great interactive scoreboard. They have a lot of cool stuff at Citi Field.
Yep.
I even like the Queens dance team. I got no problem with it. They do a really good job of making it a good experience. A part of that experience is getting your food and not waiting an hour. So whether it's Aramark's issue or not, the Mets, whether it's making a phone call, have to fix it.
Yep.
Look, the buck stops with the top. You're the New York Mets. If a company is not going to give you enough workers on a night in which there's 31,000 people there on $5 Food Tuesday, then you tell them, shape up or get out. Like, that's the reality. So without getting into the specificities of the contract, this is on the Mets. Because when you go to the ballpark and you drop $90 a ticket, you want to be able to get your food in a timely fashion. And this didn't affect me last night. I'm not saying it from a selfish perspective. I'm saying it from a business perspective, from a human perspective. How about this, guys? A guy on hold who said he couldn't get a beer last night, or a woman who couldn't get a beer last night. Veronica in Secaucus.
What's up, Veronica?
You couldn't get a beer last night?
That's right. And it was my son's first baseball game, and he was so good. But the line was enormous, of course. Mm. I'm trying to get my beer, and apparently the machines were down. I'm like, oh, great.
Oh, wait, the taps were down?
Yeah, apparently all the taps were out. Oh. It just started. I got there super early. You know, it's my kid's first game. I'm looking forward to the $5 beer and the $5 hot dog. And there was nothing. I just couldn't even get the hot dog. And then something else. Something else with, like, the pretzel. I don't know. It was just a mess.
Well, I'm sorry that you did that. I'm glad that you were.
Wonderful weather. We stayed until the 7th, right? Well, as Lindor hit that home run, great first game for the kid, and got to miss all the Jazz at the end.
Nice.
But, yeah, they got to fix that tap. Yeah. And they got to fix the concession.
Right.
Wow.
But thank you, guys.
Thank you, Veronica. I feel bad for Veronica. You know how stressful it is to get to a baseball game with a child?
Uh-huh.
And all she wants is a damn beer.
Hey, can I just get a drink?
That's all she wants.
Hey, I'll take a shot. If you go, if the tap's not working, just give me a shot. Anything will do.
Poor Veronica. I just want to go to the game tonight just to kind of monitor the lines.
Like, and I may not score it?
No, I'm going to score the game, of course.
I'm a loser.
In between innings.
But you're not going.
I know. I'm going to call my wife and ask her if she'll allow me.
Mm. I'm a loser.
And this will be my excuse. Baby, I'm doing work for the show.
Mm.
How's that? Watching the game? I said, no. I got to see about the lines. I got to make sure that they're keeping all these lines open and the
I'm a loser. Right. And if it's bad, you go find somebody with an Aramark shirt and say, is this your responsibility or is this Steve Cohen's responsibility?
Oh, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to wait till I get on the radio tomorrow at 2 o'clock and just yell about it.
I want you to be an investigative journalist right now.
Oh, yeah. I can't do that. You want me to give you tickets tonight, Lukey? Do you want to do it? I'll give you tickets tonight.
Yeah. Why not?
Really?
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to go through my head if I had anything going on with my wife.
Here's the catch. There's a catch always. And then he's going to be like, watch how snooty he is. So my ticket's already gone. But I can definitely easily use a voucher to get you upper deck seats.
Oh, now stop it.
You don't want upper deck seats?
No, I don't. I'm not.
Oh, you don't sit with the riffraff?
As the future of the station, I'm not a sloppy second, whatever you're giving me there.
So
if you want to give me your great
generational
seats,
talent.
Of course, BT. But
but it's always something. The future of the station.
You're a shyster.
I don't have my tickets. I don't have them, but I can supply you with two tickets and you want the 400 level? I can do the 400 level.
Because I know other people that have gotten me, you know, behind home plate, you know.
Have they done that an hour and a half before the game?
Yes.
Who?
Mike, I've sat behind
Mike,
home plate.
Mike, he doesn't count.
Steve Summers.
Steve doesn't have
Spike.
Oh,
Eskin.
My God. I mean, come on. So you're saying you'll only go to be an investigative reporter if you can sit in the 300s.
I don't know how much investigating I'll do on the concession stands.
So
perhaps
So now you just want the free ticket.
There, maybe. No, yeah, exactly.
Lukey!
Is it too late to get a press pass?
I would think, yeah. You need that a couple days in advance.
Especially if you tell them why you need the press pass.
Exactly, to rat on you guys.
To find out if you're doing a terrible job or not. I will get back to your calls next, 888-808-1019. Big night for the Yankees. The Mets going to try to continue this homestand on a successful note. And Sauce Gardner, who I deeply love, said something that will offend Tiki Barber.
Mm.
I'm confident of it. Because it's already offended me. Mm. We'll address it coming up live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. We got the Yankee pregame show coming up in about 15 or 20 minutes or so. They've changed their starting lineup tonight. Aaron Boone trying to spark this Yankee team, and that Yankee starting lineup is brought to you by Jersey Mike's, the official sub sandwich shop of the New York Yankees, and by Casamigos Tequila, brought to you by those who drink it. Alex Verdugo, for the first time this season, is leading off for the New York Yankees, and he's playing left field. Juan Soto is batting second. Aaron Judge is DHing again, batting third. Ben Rice, the cleanup hitter. Gleyber Torres batting fifth. Anthony Volpe batting sixth. Trent Grisham batting seventh. Jose Trevino batting eighth. And DJ LeMahieu again batting ninth.
DJ LeMahieu, so washed. He should be next to the dryer.
Okay, that is not Aaron Boone. That is an AI of Aaron Boone. Just in case you thought Aaron Boone said that about DJ LeMahieu. That he's so, what did he say? He's so
DJ LeMahieu, so washed. He should be next to the dryer. Volpe.
That's actually solid.
Can't figure it out. Six home runs.
That is an AI of Aaron Boone. We didn't even create it. Okay? There was a guy on social media who's reached out and said, thank you for the support. Immortal is his name. And we just thought it was funny. But it's all fake and it's all sheer.
Me not having a beard has really messed with me.
It's just what you want athletes and what you want Aaron Boone to say.
Oh, yeah.
That's all Immortal is doing.
Yeah, he's giving.
He's saying what we want to hear.
They want, and I understand why. I feel the same way too as a fan. We want Aaron Boone to come out on a press conference and just rip everybody. Everybody stinks. Cashman's an idiot. This is awful. Now, the reality is that's never going to happen. And the reality is the Yankees need to find a way to win some freaking baseball games. Because over this 23-game stretch, they are 6-17.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the worst record any team in baseball this year has had over any 23-game stretch. So the Stroh Show is on the mound tonight for the Yankees. Marcus Stroman, Zach Eflin. It's the Yankees. It's against the Tampa Bay Rays. As far as the Mets are concerned, today's one of those days, very different than yesterday. Yesterday, right around this time, I may have whined, some people say, about the Mets lineup. I didn't like it. I didn't like the fact that DJ Stewart was in the lineup. I didn't like the fact that Jose Iglesias was not in the lineup. Well, good news. With the lefty Patrick Corbin on the mound, we are witnessing what I like to call the A lineup from Carlos Mendoza. Lindor, Nimmo, J.D. Pete, Vientos, and Alvarez back-to-back.
All right.
Let's go, Matt!
So Vientos is that a, what was he, seventh yesterday?
Yes, because it was Alvarez 5, DJ Stewart 6.
Yes.
And Vientos 7. Now it's Vientos and Alvarez back-to-back. Iglesias 7 at second base. Tyrone Taylor and Wright.
Who you called for.
Well, he's got to play every day.
Right.
I mean, right now, and Harrison Bader 9th. Here's the way I look at this. Jose Iglesias, the OMG of the New York Mets, needs to be the everyday second baseman. Lefty, righty, amphibious. It doesn't matter.
Right.
He plays.
Jeff McNeil can play right field. It's all good.
Jeff McNeil or Tyrone Taylor, take your pick, maybe it's a matchup thing, can platoon and play right field. The rest of it is very simple. Bader in center, Nimmo in left, Vientos in third, Lindor, the whole thing. We all know what it is. But Jose Iglesias has earned that opportunity, even if he doesn't continue to hit, because I don't expect him to continue to hit, but he's so good defensively at second base.
Yeah.
So that's what they should do. These games are very important for the Mets. They're at 500. This is a game to get above 500. And I said this going into the homestand. They need to get to the All-Star break above 500. This needs to be a successful homestand. One down, five to go. And the way it works in our, it's not even the Mets text chat anymore. It's the show chat. And it's starting to get annoying. If the Mets lose, which they may, right? Sean Morash, remember him?
Yep.
Still works here. Will text us something so douchely arrogant about the Mets losing. If the Mets win, and I'm a Met fan saying this, Loogie texts something even as well douchely arrogant about the Mets winning. And it's like these two extremes are so representative of our country.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah.
We live in extremes.
It's like one of you guys is trying to get elected as the future, and you're running away from each other.
Loogie,
you're running to the edges.
The
nobody wants to sit in the middle.
That's right.
Right. Yeah, I got to appease the bases on the edges. That's all you're doing.
Meanwhile, me and Tiki are in the middle.
Yes.
I as a Met fan, he is an IBO.
We are everybody.
Yeah.
And that's actually our voting history says that.
That is true. It's our voting history, and it's our reaction to the Mets history. So whatever happens tonight, between the Mets and the Washington Nationals. I'm already prepared.
Let's go, Matt. That
either Lugie or Sean will text something. Mm-hmm. I may even put it out on social media, as assuming it's not like dirty or anything. Like, so over the top. Like, I think Lugie last night was the Mets are the best team in baseball, something of that nature. Mm-hmm. And Sean goes with that. OMG's ruined them. It's all over. Why are we doing this?
Neither one is right.
No, you're both idiots.
Neither one is even close to being right. OMG is saving them.
Though, I hope Lukey's right. Because if the Mets turn into the best team in baseball, I will kiss him on the lips.
I mean, they've been pretty good over a span.
Oh, yeah.
Now, they are not the best team in baseball in total. So if you qualify that a little bit, maybe you could. Yeah, we'd accept it, Lugie.
If the Mets win the National League pennant, I'll give you a back massage.
The Mets win the pennant.
Yeah. Yeah, just like that. I'll give you a back massage. If that's what you want, I'll give you whatever you want. Now, if the Mets turn into sucking, I will just beat the crap out of Sean Morash. So that's the way things are going to work.
Nice.
I will give in to the extremes. If either extreme is right, I will, you know, hug and so many things.
Yeah, let's just stop at hug.
Me and Lugie, I'll give them some of my
meat. Rub you down with some nice hot baby oil.
Yes. But if give me the meat. I want the meat. But if Sean's right, I'll just beat him up.
Yeah.
By the way, my take last night was that Francisco Lindor has put himself into the MVP conversation, which got a lot of traction online.
Do you think that's true, though?
Yeah, absolutely. Over the last month, because a lot of people were pointing to average and OPS. Bro, he's hitting like over 300 the last 46 games.
It's one of those things where you can get caught in the weeds on this. Yeah. Like right now, if I was sitting there at the All-Star break, and I'm a geek enough to do this, and say, who's the MVP of the National League? Okay. I would have an opinion. Now, many would say it's Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, I was going to say Ohtani.
I would actually argue it's Bryce Harper. That would be me. Francisco.
Is he hurt right now?
Bryce Harper, yeah. But is he still not the MVP of the league? Do I have to disqualify him?
Just asking.
Do I have to disqualify him now?
No.
I mean, look at all the league leaders in the National League and also look at the Philly success that they've. I mean, the point is, as of now, that doesn't mean it's going to happen in October.
Right.
But as of right now, I would say Bryce Harper. Francisco Lindor, and he's been incredible, is probably, and I use the word probably not even in the top like eight in the MVP discussion. If we're being fair about it.
Yeah, because it was too much of the month slump at the beginning of the season. People can't. First of all, it shows up on your numbers.
Well, numbers matter, and the Mets are a 500 team. MVPs don't come from that.
And nobody's going into the advanced numbers, because if you go look at his expected batting average as opposed to his actual batting average, he's hitting the ball hard.
Right, and his WAR is very high.
Right, all those things mattered, but you're going to look at the final number.
Well, he's not the MVP. Now, if your sentence to me is, hey, guys, and this would fit the positive Tommy moniker, I think he's going to win the MVP because he's going to continue to play great, and the Mets are going to continue to climb. Sure, it's possible. Like, I can't rule it out. I wouldn't predict it. The Mets have never had an MVP in their franchise.
He would need to hit 30 home runs and 60 RBIs after the break.
And more importantly, the Mets would have to win 90 games.
Yes.
Like, I think the Mets would have to win 90 games. Lindor would have to continue this stretch. And is there a world in which he is in that conversation? Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But as of right now, he is not.
No.
Is that a fair retort to that?
It's not fair.
How is that not fair?
It's funny, Evan and Tiki, that you both have that take because Spike Eskin agrees with you. Harrison Francesa agrees with you. So all I need is Sonny Carton to complete the hat trick on that one. I mean, if Joe Buck wants to weigh in, too, on that, he can as well.
But wait a second.
Lugie!
Agree with what?
That it's a ridiculous take, which it's not.
I don't think it's a ridiculous take. I'm just saying he's not there yet.
Yeah, that's exactly what we just said.
If he hits 30 more home runs, so he gets to 46 home runs. He has 60 more RBIs, so he's up to 108 or 10 or something like that. Then you know what? You can have a conversation.
No, you know what? That's ridiculous because that's not going
to
happen.
Of course it's not going to happen. But that would need to happen for it to be even considered.
How about this? No. I'll give you something more realistic. Even though this probably won't happen. If Francisco Lindor continues to replicate what he's done out of the leadoff spot through the end of the season, and if that happened, I can't do the math, but my guess is his average would probably get to about 260.
Mm-hmm.
His OPS would get over 800. And the Mets got to 90-plus wins.
No, throughout the season? No, it'd go up to probably 270.
Okay,
255 now.
That's fine. It goes even higher.
Right.
So if he just continues to do what he's been doing and the Mets continue to win, could he enter that discussion in September? Absolutely. So to put that opinion next to Spike calling you a moron is very different.
Which people pointed out to Spike, hey, Spike, you're the one that created Lugie, so sit this one out.
That's right.
And like Tiki says all the time.
Is he claiming you?
He is, I think.
I think Lugie is claiming, like, Spike did create him. It's not Spike's creating. I think Lugie's saying, that's my daddy.
Are you an adult or are you a child?
And Tiki says this all the time. Just have a conversation. So nobody's having the Lindor conversation about MVP. What? Because I said something, and I'm not trying to be like that, but I'm saying like...
Well, yes, I'm responding to you. You just brought it up.
But the way he gets into the conversation is by somebody putting him in the conversation. And I felt like he deserved to be in the conversation.
Right now, when you're a 500 team, you're not in the conversation.
But they're not a 500 team.
Yes, they are.
No, hold on.
They're not over the last month, but they are. You are what your record says you are at every point.
But he's gotten him back to 500 with playing great.
You can't disqualify a month. Much like on the opposite end with the Yankees, you can't ignore that they were a really good team for the first 2 months. You can't just eliminate April. Like, it happened. It's on his resume. That, can he erase it if the Mets continue to win and they end up winning 90 games and they get the top wild card spot and he ends up with an 885 OPS? Yes, but he's not there yet.
So Aaron Judge, Aaron Judge struggled, was horrible early, then he went on this crazy run. Now the team stinks. Is he not at the MVP though?
What are Aaron Judge's numbers?
I understand that Aaron Judge is triple crown ridiculous numbers.
We're not saying you're an idiot. We're saying he's not there yet. You're being premature. And that's okay. You want to be first, and I respect that.
Generational talent.
That's what they're saying. Let me get it out there first so that when he is in the MVP discussion, goodbye, SNY. And by the way, stay tuned for Baseball Night in New York, presented by Tri-State Cadillac. Coming up next, I saw Billy Epler's going to be on.
Are
they going to ask him about the IL stuff? I assume so, right?
I mean, really?
Yeah, we got to get some closure on that, don't we?
Yeah. I think everybody did it, so it's kind of like...
Well, let him say that.
All right. He can't really.
He can say whatever he wants. Unless he's auditioning for a job at SNY and he doesn't want to, like, ruffle feathers with the baseball. Nah, he can say whatever he wants.
Generational talent.
He should say whatever he wants.
He should just say whatever he wants. Anyhow, that's coming up next on SNY. What were you going to say? What was I saying there?
I don't remember.
Something about Lindor. Oh! How about this? Mets are 45-45.
Yes.
The All-Star break is approaching. I will probably do a Rico at the All-Star break where we say, hey, who's the MVP of the Mets in the first half of the season? I think many would suggest, and I'm still giving it a lot of thought, and I lean towards the MVP of the Mets being Brandon Nimmo. That right now, it's not Francisco Lindor.
Yeah, but
that's not a knock on Lindor. That's a compliment towards Nimmo.
Is that a 2.5 week bias? Like a recency bias? Because there's three names you could throw out. Lindor, obviously, who we're just talking about.
Okay.
Brandon Nimmo, who's been fantastic. Feels like he hits a home run every night.
And number three?
Francisco Alvarez.
He missed too much time, but I get your point. He's very valuable. I would say J.D. Martinez has had a great value on this team.
Yeah,
I think Brandon Nimmo.
I think Russell recently, though.
If you look at the clutch numbers of Brandon Nimmo, they are so obscene compared to everybody else. Like, two outs, runners in scoring position, late and close. And it's not a knock on Francisco and everybody else because Francisco's numbers are fine in late and clutch. So I'm not telling you he hasn't been clutch. What I'm telling you is Brandon Nimmo is like a Greek god in clutch situations.
Right.
So it's a debate amongst Met fans. Not that it matters. It's the MVP of the first half. But in Rico world, it matters.
So what you're saying is the Mets have six MVP candidates. That's why they're so great. That's why this lineup is so special. They have six MVP candidates.
How did we get to six?
Not six.
I just rounded up.
Right. But
he said three guys.
But when you look at the lineup, the one that you just gave us, you look at one to like six, and you're like, all right, those guys can get hits.
Oh, no doubt.
Those guys can be hot today.
No doubt.
And unfortunately for the Yankees, you can't say that.
No, look, the Yankees are the top-heavy team.
Yes.
They've got two guys, and no offense to anybody on the Mets, and I love Lindor and I love Nimmo. They're not Juan Soto and they're not Aaron Judge, and no one would argue that. But the depth of the Met lineup has been their strength. It's going to be interesting. They face Patrick Corbin tonight. Patrick Corbin is a case study of something that I wish happened here in New York because I think it would be fascinating. Patrick Corbin was a free agent. Yankee fans thought they were going to get him. They really wanted Patrick Corbin. There were stories he grew up as a Yankee fan. He signs this long-term contract with the Nationals. First year with Washington, really good year. They win the World Series. Since then, he's been the worst pitcher in baseball by a mile and a half. But he won the World Series, so you'd say that's a great contract, right?
Yeah, I think it's worth it. If you sign a guy specifically to help you win a World Series, and you win a World Series, it's worth it.
I agree.
Period. Mookie Betts is the exact meme. You know, Mookie is still great, but still, you know what I mean.
I agree. Patrick Corbin, by the way, 1-8 with a 5.49 ERA. We'll see if the Mets can beat him up. The Yankees are going to try to get the winning rolling. It's a Stro show tonight. We got the pregame show coming up next. The New York Yankees, the Tampa Bay Rays. We're back at you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Enjoy the baseball, or just enjoy spending time with your loved ones, because that's fun, too.